The Cookeville Cavaliers beat the White County Warriors last night at Eddie Watson Stadium, 56-33. We have Coach Jimmy Maynard of Cookeville on with us. Coach, thanks for being with us this morning.
Hey, thank you.
Coach Maynard, like we just talked about briefly, it was a battle of really, really good quarterback play there on both teams. Stockton Owen finished the night with 15 rushes for 4 touchdowns. He also went 14-17 through the air for 192 yards and a touchdown, by far his best passing game of the night. But Malachi Dow for White County put up 298 yards and 4 touchdowns on the ground to keep the White County Warriors in it.
Young man, you know, we saw him in the first game, scored 5 touchdowns in the first game, and he's just, he's hard to tackle. We just didn't have answers. They run a lot of stuff, mislead him because they do have, they've got good speed in the backfield, and you have to pay attention to the little running back because he does have great speed, and they do some stuff that's pretty difficult to defend, and we just missed a lot of tackles, and the kid's just he's a good football player. It was a struggle for us all night trying to get off the field on defense, and just luckily, you know, I don't know if I've ever been involved in a game where there was almost 1,000 yards of offense between two teams. I think we had 551, they had 400 and something, and unbelievable. But, you know, we were able to, obviously on offense, we were able to have success, and luckily we were, because if we hadn't, we'd have been in for a long night because we had a difficult time stopping them. We had a chance the first half to go up 3 scores right before the half. We had a couple of penalties and had a drop ball for a touchdown that would have put us up 3 scores, which it would have been, you know, a comfortable lead for us. But give White County credit, Coach Frazier and that group's done a great job, really good job play calling last night, and it's just a difficult night for us.
Coach, before we get to talking about a lot deeper into that game, just Coach Frazier has really taken that program and flipped it upside down on its head. Obviously easier to do when you have a young man like Malachi Dial back there playing for you, but even last year, Malachi was a freshman and didn't play as much, and just the turnaround of that program in such a short period of time is good for this area. It might keep you up late at night, but it's good to see White County be competitive in football again.
Well, it really is. You know, I've watched this group. My grandson plays for them, and I've watched this group of juniors play since they were, you know, in youth ball, and I've watched them come up, and I knew they had some good players. They have some good athletes. They've got team speed. They may have more team speed than we do, to be honest with you. But they have done a really good job. I know that they've got a lot of kids out. You know, they're able now to play a freshman game, a JV schedule, and a varsity schedule. So, you know, that speaks dividends for the job that he and his coaching staff have done. And, you know, you have to feel good for them. You know, I started my career there 41 years ago and spent 10 years coaching there. So I'm proud for them, and my grandson does play for them. But obviously that's a team that I want to win against when we play. But they've done a great job for sure.
Coach, what was White County giving you there offensively to have Stockton be able to air it out a little bit? Again, by far his most successful night passing, finishing 14-17 for 192 yards and a touchdown with a long of 53.
Well, they're a 4-3 team, and they do a lot out of it. They, you know, sometimes they'll give you a 4-1 box, which they didn't do very much against us. Certain sets they did a couple times. We were able to run the quarterback draw, and it was success. But they blitz a lot. And they're going to keep 7 in the box, and you know, we felt going into the game that maybe in the secondary they do play off of you a little bit and play some man coverage, and we like that we had some throws there that we could make and move the chains, and probably could have taken a few more deeper shots than we did. They started creeping up on us, and we did hit one long one there, and we dropped one there. It was a touchdown there right before the half. But, you know, we just felt like that we needed to be able to throw it because they do stack the box, and those guys are pretty fast and pretty physical in there. Their defensive linemen are really good players, and linebackers run well, and we just felt like we needed to be able to throw the ball some to kind of open some things up and move the chains.
Coach Maynard, there, even with a stat box, finished with 38 rushes for just a tick under 360 yards on the night with 359, seven touchdowns. Again, Stockton Owen was your leading rusher with 15 attempts for 148 yards, four touchdowns. With Logan Sides got it going there late with 11 runs for 135 yards and two touchdowns. And then Evan Whited had a big night for him, 11 carries, 76 yards, and a touchdown. So even there in a stat box with not a lot of room to run, you were able to get almost 400 yards on the ground.
I thought our offensive linemen did a really good job. We had a lot of success running counter. I mean, that was a good play for us. We ran a little buck sweep that was productive for us. And just our normal run game. And you mentioned Evan White. I thought Evan came in, and he's a little different runner than Logan Sides, for sure. Logan's more of the, you know, power runner, and Evan gives us that little burst of speed and stuff and got really quick feet and did a good job for us. And, of course, Stockton, you know, he had his normal night. But really, I think when I look at the film and stuff, our offensive line did a good job. I thought that was maybe their best night.
Coach Maynard, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate all your help and cooperation this season. And Friday night across UC Sports Nation, the scoreboard driven by East Tennessee Dodge. I'm your host, Justin Matheny, alongside with Rusty Ellis. Jackson County 43, Red Bowling Springs 0. The Jackson County Blue Devils improved to 3-1 on the season with a 43-0 road victory over Red Bowling Springs Friday night. All 43 of those points were scored in the first half. Next week, Jackson County jumps back into region play against East Robertson.
Watertown 21, DeKalb County 14. The DeKalb County Tigers fall to 1-3 on the season as they were shut out in the second half and saw an 8-point lead slip away to Watertown. After neither team scored in the third, Watertown scored twice in the fourth to take home the victory. Next week, the Tigers go on the road against Grundy County.
After falling behind early 7-0 to Cumberland County, Clay County rattles off 46 straight to beat the Jets of Cumberland County 46-20. Next week, Clay County squares off against Gordonsville in a huge region matchup as Cumberland County will look for their first win of the season against Macon County in Lafayette.
Livingston Academy 21, Upperman 14. Five turnovers proved to be the difference as Livingston Academy picks off Thomas Enzer and Ty Dutchess a combined four times. Caleb Robinson added all three scores for the Wildcats, and they end up with the victory. Upperman will host Cannon County next week in Baxter, while Livingston takes on Stone Memorial.
Eagleville 51, Pickett County 0. The Bobcats will travel to Monterey next Friday night to take on the undefeated Wildcats.
Monterey 50, Harriman 18. Mason Bowman lit up the scoreboard and continued his excellent run to start the season with four total touchdowns in the winning effort.
Warren County 40, Lawrence County 3. The Pioneers improved to 4-0 on the season. Next week, Warren County travels to Murfreesboro as they take on Blackman.
Cookeville 56, White County 33. 298 rushing yards and four touchdowns from Malachi Dowell was not enough as Cookeville improves to 3-1 on the season. They hit the road to Murfreesboro next week to take on Oakland, while White County takes on Walker Valley.
The high school playbook continues with Jackson County head coach Sean Loftus coming off a 43-0 win there at Red Bull in Springs last night. Coach Loftus, thanks for getting up with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Justin.
So, Coach, obviously anytime you score 43 points and hold somebody to zero, that's a big win there for the Jackson County Blue Devils.
It is, you know, and it was a opportunity for, you know, for everybody to get the chance to play. And, you know, again, anytime that it's a win is a win for us, and it's in its own for the next week now. I mean, we've got a big game next week, a big region game with East Robertson, and a game that holds a lot of value to it.
Coach, we had talked earlier in the week about keeping your guys focused, going into a game that, to put it nicely, you should win the way you did. How did practice go this week, and just keeping your older guys focused and knowing that if they played well, like you said, everyone would get a chance to play?
You know, it's sometimes it's tough. And even last night, you know, there was mental lapses. I don't know however, you know, I was really, really pleased with, you know, the four quarters that we did put together and the opportunity that those younger kids got a chance to go in there and see what playing on in a Friday night game is all about under the lights. And, you know, it was, and and we saw some good things from the younger kids, which is always a good thing. And so anyway, I was really pleased with, for the most part, of how we responded. And, you know, practice was, you know, one of those things that we thought we got better this week in practice, and we tried to practice for ourselves and not necessarily like for an opponent and stuff. But, you know, again, anytime you get a chance to get those younger kids in the ball game and get them some experience, it's always a good feeling to see some of the things, when their reactions, whenever they do something well and things like that. So it was all over. Or last night, it was a good night for us.
Coach, senior quarterback Eli Burris had two touchdown passes last night. You know, I know last year was his first year out there, and you were really excited to get him. How's he started to grow and progress into a quarterback, into your system, that you're able to open things up in the passing game a little more?
You know, Eli's a smart kid. Eli's a competitor, and we just got to continue to, you know, but he came in last year after not playing. You know, he came in late his sophomore year, a little bit too late to even play quarterback. So we put him at receiver just to put him out there. And, you know, so last year was actually his first quarterback experience in 2 years. So, you know, as last year went along, I mean, he played pretty solid throughout the whole entire year. You know, we're still working on some fundamental stuff with his feet, and that's you know, the biggest thing that he's got to work on is just continuing to throw him with his, where his feet at. His feet tells the, you know, he sometimes, as a quarterback, it all starts, you know, with your footwork, and Eli's getting much better there, and he knows his progressions, he knows where his reads are at, and I think he's understanding that we've got a lot of weapons and that we can spread the ball around to several different receivers.
There in your backfield, Coach, Wood Robbins has been just a mainstay for you for the past few years. He's a really good player. He found the end zone last night, and Will Flanagan also ran for two touchdowns himself.
Yeah, and you know, Wood is just, you know, he's a bruiser. He's a he's a back that, if you know, he's got some breakaway speed. However, you know, if you need that yard, he knows that he's gonna stick his head in there and get that 1 yard. And you know, he plays both ways, and you know, he's our leader on the defensive end, and you know, he's just he's gotten, you know, so much better with his vision, you know, this year than compared to the previous year. And it's good to get Will in there and get him some carries. Will is a shifted kid that you know, last night you know, showed some ability to make some people miss and that type of thing. So you know, it was good to get him some carries and just see what he could do. And you know, to the point where, you know, he plays some receiver for us, but you know, we really don't get him that many carries from a running back standpoint. And last night we were able to, and you know, he scored two touchdowns, and I thought he had a good night last night.
Coach, just real quick here, East Robertson coming up. You've got to find a way to get a region win here to get into the playoffs.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's all you can say. I mean, we've been, you know, putting some things together for them over the past week and trying to get ready for them. And, you know, it's a long, you know, road trip, so we've got to make sure that you know, we stay focused, and this week, and I think our kids are mature enough, and they understand what's at stake.
Well, Coach, thank you for getting up with us this morning. Really appreciate it. Congrats on your win, and good luck next week there at East Robertson.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Justin.
All right, we turn now to the 4-0 Warren County Pioneers with a 40-3 win last night over Lawrence County. Head Coach Matt Turner joins us. Coach, thanks for being with us this morning.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Coach, unprecedented times in the nation and the world right now. Unprecedented times for Warren County football over my lifetime, and I'm just 30, so But watching this team play, there's something special going down there in Mentville.
You know, there is. It definitely is uncharted territory for us. So it's a very exciting time. But, yeah, you know, these kids are playing hard. The coaches are coaching hard. We're enjoying every minute of it right now.
Coach Turner, I was down there at the Cannon County game for the majority of that game, and you blew those guys out, but you were not happy, to say the least, with how your team finished that game. And you really, I'm not going to say you got into them. You told them to enjoy the win, but that you could get a lot better. And you turn around and you get a big win against Rockville and come out last night and just put together a really complete game against Lawrence County.
Yeah, I mean, that's where, you know, like you talked about here in Warren County, we haven't, you know, they've been spits and spurs of success, you know, but I mean, as far as learning how to execute. And, you know, like you said, it's uncharted territory for these guys. They don't know how to put it all together, you know, and we've been really talking about just doing your job and doing it for four quarters and trying to hit on all eight cylinders, you know. And last night we took another step closer. Obviously, there's plenty of mistakes that we need to overcome and correct, you know. And the bad thing is, I mean, yeah, it's awesome to be 4-0 right here right now, but that's what we supposed to do, you know. Everybody, all the teams that we've played, obviously, maybe not so with the Rockville game. That was a good, hard-fought road game, region game, you know. But you know, and I tell them every win's a opportunity to validate the hard work that they're putting in, and that they are a good little ball team.
Coach Turner, for those of the people around here who've not seen you guys play this year, before we talk about any personnel. You run an offense that's very fun to watch. I believe you call it the pistol wing. I think that's the only thing you can call it. But it's a short huddle. You turn around, you line up, and you snap that ball pretty quick. Not a lot of reading there at the line. Where did that offense come from, and why have you been so successful? I know part of that reason's one of the players you have back there who's one of the best players in the Mid-State.
Right,
but,
right.
But where does that offense come from?
Well, this offense, when I took this job, you know, I studied and you know, of course, I played college ball at UTC, and we was the air raid, you know. So, I mean, I've been zone run concept, you know, but I didn't feel like that was what our athletes was capable of doing at the time. You know, I researched and also did a lot of research on how to turn programs around and stories out there. And I found a coach by the name of Rick Stewart. And I started watching his videos and watching his stuff. And of course, he had the pistol wing tee, offense that he contributed a lot of success to. And then, I mean, often he had kind of, you know, one of the forefathers, I guess, to it, you know. And of course, he's done a lot of things. He's actually been down here at Tennessee Tech working with coach, doing some things. And anyway, so I watched many videos and I thought, man, I'm just going to call this guy. So I scoured to contact the coaching world out there and finally got a hold of him. And I said, Coach, I've got a project for you. And I said, I think we've got some talented kids that could be very successful in this offense. And so we had him come in and he helped us install the offense last summer. He was actually going to come back this past summer, but of course COVID came in and he wasn't able to help or wasn't able to come in. So, but yeah, you know, and the thing is, watching his offense, kind of just fell in love with the defense. And you know, it's something different that we've not seen in Warren County. Warren County's always been a 5-2 cover 3 type team for years, just because of the coaching staff that's, you know, the circle of coaches that's been here. And so we brought in the 4-2-5, it's a very simplistic, yet it's got a lot of multiple things that we can do with it. So, but you know, the advantage, like you said, we try to snap the ball within 3 seconds after breaking the huddle, you know, to and blocking on angles with our linemen, you know, because we're trying to overcome a lot of things that it's going to take time in the weight room to correct. So, Rick Stewart, Coach Rick Stewart, if anybody's looking for his stuff, it's good stuff.
Coach, we can't talk about the Warren County Pioneers without mentioning C.J. Taylor. You mentioned Tennessee Tech. Finally, kid gets an offer, way overdue, and then the offers have really started to roll in here. I know that's been kind of a weight lifted off his shoulder, and I know you're really proud of him.
Yeah, you know, going back to, I mean, you know, people talk about how the COVID's affected us, you know, this senior class has got a slew of some talented athletes, you know, of course, CJ Taylor being right there at the top of the list there, you know, and we was going to hit the recruiting circuit and, you know, and honestly, you know, colleges haven't looked in Warren County's way, you know, because we haven't been successful in the past, you know, of course. You know, I think the last big recruit we had was K-Ron, but you know, when you're 6'4", 300 pounds and run a 4.8, you know, they're going to come find you anywhere you are. But, you know, we've got some kids that can play at the next level.
Coach Turner, congrats on being 4-0. I know you've got a big battle next week with Blackman. You'll have your hands full, but they'll have their hands full with that Warren County offense and defense. So we really appreciate you joining us this morning.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
All right, the high school playbook continues with Monterey head coach Scott Hughes coming off a 50-18 win over Harriman. Coach, you're 2-0. You've not lost a regular season game in at least 12 games dating back to last season. So I know you've got to be impressed with your team.
Yeah, you know, they're giving a great effort right now. They're playing really hard, playing for each other. And you know, with every day we're growing as a team. And seeing a lot of young guys grow in some roles that they're not used to, and very, very proud of their effort right now.
Sounds like we had a buzzer going off there. I know you're at your son's basketball game, but we appreciate you giving us this time this morning, Coach. It's the Mason Bowman show there right now, Monterey. He is doing it all for you guys. Really filling a big void there where Jordan Key left you guys last season.
He is, and you know, I've said it, Mason may be probably potentially the best back that I've ever had the opportunity to coach. And you know, when you date back to when I was an assistant, I was blessed to be around several great running backs that went on to play at Tennessee Tech and other places. And you know, Mason as a sophomore, I put him right up there with several of those guys. And so the sky's the limit for him. But, you know, the big thing about Mason is he's the first guy to give credit to his offensive line. But he also understands we got some weapons on the perimeter. And last night, kind of, you know, what we were getting was some issues that, I don't know if they just respected some of our guys on the perimeter or what. But they left us open with some situations where, you know, Mason kind of got the bulk of the work. And then, you know, late in the game, we'd run 84 snaps in the first half, and it seemed like the first half lasted 3 hours. So the second half, we were up and blessed to be in that situation, and we decided to try to just run the clock a little bit and try to get home before midnight.
Coach, defensively there, you had an interception from Anthony Soberinas and forced two fumbles. You don't blow some, and I say blowout, I don't mean that in a bad way, but 50-18 wins a blowout. But you don't blow somebody out like that and not play really good defense.
Well, and we had some communication issues, and that allowed them to score, you know, one of their touchdowns. And they were throwing the ball like 80% of the time on the film that we had, and they're in empty and quads and got people, you know, all over the place and trying to throw it a ton. And they've got really good athletes. They had a 6'6 receiver. They had 2 6'3 receivers. And so we had to, you know, we had to kind of adopt a different philosophy and had to go to a little bit of a bend but don't break, because a lot of what they had done was passes of 20, 25 yards or more. So they were pushing the field vertical. And when you've got guys that are 6'3, you know, across the board and a 6'6, you know, I don't blame them for what they're doing. And, you know, the 6'6 young man, he went up over us one time, and we were in great situation. I mean, we played it perfect. He's a basketball kid that can jump out of the gym, and he just made a good play on it. But our guys played it perfect. And so we had a couple of communication busts, though, that allowed them to pick up a little bit more yardage than what we wanted. But, you know, we ended up with two interceptions. Eli Saylor's had a big interception in the third quarter, and we created some fumble situations, and was just really, really proud of our defensive effort.
Coach, here in Monterey, again, coming off a 50-18 win, you played Harriman last night, and when you can almost equate to what they do offensively and having to change what you do on defense, like you're playing a wing T team. except Harriman was out there throwing the ball around 80-85% of the time. Like you said, you had some communication, but that's tough to get that done in just a week, and especially a week this year where you've had such little time in the off season, then you miss your first 2 weeks of the season.
It is, and you know that I think I'm not making excuses. My guys know we don't make excuses, but that was the one thing I was so proud of them, is to be able to make some adjustments on the fly, and even though we had some issues communication wise, we were able to settle and we were able to make some plays happen, and it's like I told them, we've only had six practices since quarantine, we had six practices before this week. And what the dynamic that we saw last week is nothing like what Harriman presented. So to be able to make those adjustments in the fast time that we did, and like you stated, you know, we lost another 2 weeks of practice, just really speaks volumes to the amount of work and the work ethic that our guys have, not only on the practice field, but behind the scenes, you know, getting on the film, getting on the scout report, and asking questions.
Well, Coach Hughes, thank you for jumping on with us this morning. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the ball game there. Next week, you have Pickett County coming to town, a team that's struggling moving the ball right now. But I know that Monterey Wildcat team will be ready to rock and roll there at that home game in Monterey.
It's homecoming, so we're excited for that. And anytime we can play in our own stadium, it's exciting. Our community is so supportive, and we always look forward to being in front of them.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. You have a good one.
All right, see you, buddy.
The high school playbook continues with head coach Steve Trapp of DeKalb County. Coach Trapp, thanks for being with us. We had a tough game there last night against Watertown and Smithville with a 21-14 loss.
Yeah, another one of those games. I guess if you're a fan, it's a pretty good ball game. Felt like we had some good momentum and did some good things in the first half. Ultimately took the lead into halftime, but just second half we couldn't get anything going, and they found something that was finally working for them a little bit, and ultimately they made a couple more plays than we did.
Coach, you took words right out of my mouth. Being there last night, I felt like the DeKalb County Tigers controlled that game for 4.5 quarters. Up 14-6 there at half. Evan Jones blocked an extra point, blocked a punt, had a big night, made a bunch of plays, but just offensively in the second half, just had trouble getting the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, Evan, I mean, he played extremely hard last night. Just proud of that guy. He was making plays. Caught the passes, but defensively, just elevated his game last night on that side. But special teams wise, that extra point, and then the punt, couldn't capitalize off that punt, you know, even with a good field position. And that was kind of the story, you know, especially in the second half. Again, efficiency as far as, first down penalties again, I can remember three or four drives starting, we'd have a false start or even a worse penalty than that. But, again, we drove the ball down there pretty deep and just couldn't capitalize on some of the field position. And then, like I said, ultimately they made a few more plays than we did.
Coach, I feel like there's so many positives from that game. Watertown's always a perennial 2A team that's really, really good. And like I said, I thought y'all were the better team for the majority of that game last night. Offensively, though, in the backfield, and correct me if I'm wrong, Axel looks like probably your most effective and efficient runner when you're calling some read plays with him and some design runs. But are you kind of limited trying to, make sure he can stay healthy this whole season and not trying to run him, 15, 20 times a game?
Well, I mean, if that's what's called for us to be successful, that's what we'll do. Stone last week, I think he rushed for 18 rushes for over 150 yards. Our two running backs that we're using, Kobe Barnes and Nathaniel Crook, I think both those guys ran extremely hard last night. And last year, our running back, it was those two guys last year as well. But they were so beat up and banged up the entire year, probably neither one of them was ever 100%, which Toby missed most of the season with injuries in the beginning of the season. It wasn't football related, but then got dinged up again. But I thought they run extremely hard. You know, Toby's a sophomore, Nathaniel's a junior. You know, they both probably get about 8 carries a game. They're both averaging about 5 yards a carry when you look at their stats. So they're serviceable. They're, you know, they can get the job done. There's areas where, you know, we want those guys to be a little better in pass protection and things like that. But, you know, really the way I'm using those two guys is really based off how last year went with the injury situation and not ever really having a running back fully healthy. You know, so it's not that they cannot get the job done. That's just kind of how our offense is designed this year.
Coach, the highlight of the night was a 91-90-yard touchdown pass from Axel to Desmond Noakes on a 2nd and 19. He hits Desmond just running, I mean, kind of a skinny post, kind of an inside seam, just right down the heart of the defense, and Desmond just absolutely runs away from everybody by a long shot.
Yeah, what's unique about that play, it's, you know, it's not what I called, you know, so which Axel has that liberty. There's a lot of stuff that is built in, you know, to a lot of our runs and things like that, but on that play in particular, that concept wasn't built in, but it is something that, you know, Axel had seen and, you know, just a little wink and a nod out there and those guys hooked up, you know, so, you know, a lot of credit goes to Axel on that one and Desmond to see a situation to potentially hit something big, and they did, you know, so just a lot of credit goes to those guys.
Coach, it's kind of an opposite of last season. You're starting the season 3-1, but you're not won a game here at home. You go on the road next week at Grundy County, hoping to get back on the winning track.
Yeah, you know, it is. Ultimately, at this time last year, we got the same record, you know, with one victory. And, you know, then last year we were undefeated at home. Again, scheduling opponents, all that has to go into it and things like that. But we were, you know, the 3 losses we had last year, they all were, you know, 25, 30-point losses, shutouts, you know, things like that. We've lost 3 ball games by 1 score every game. You know, so, again, it comes down to, you know, making the plays and taking advantage of the opportunities that are given. You're not going to get every single one of them. And, you know, just what I told our guys last night is just what I told you. You know, the way we started last year was a lot different. The record is the same. The way we started last year served us a purpose, and the way we have started this year will serve us a purpose as well.
Well, Coach Trapp, thank you for joining us this morning. Again, 1-0 in the region, and that's the most important thing. All your goals are still there on the table. I got a really, really good team there in DeKalb County, and look forward to covering y'all the rest of the season.
Well, man, I appreciate the coverage that you were giving us and everybody else here in the Upper Cumberland, and just thank you guys for what y'all did.
We turn to the Clay County Bulldogs, who wound up winning last night 46-20 over the Cumberland County Jets. We're joined here with Coach Jake Johnson of Clay County. Coach, how's it going this morning? And thank you for jumping on with us.
All right, not a problem. Doing well. Just kind of woke up not too long ago, if I'm being honest.
Hey, I don't blame you. Any chance I get to sleep in, I try to do the same. Coach, let's just go ahead and talk about that game last night early. Cumberland County went down there and took a 7-0 lead. However, the Clay County Bulldogs right off 46 points unanswered to really, you know, put that game away.
Well, you know, and we kind of – I don't know if we just came out sluggish or lethargic or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, I know the scoreboard didn't really reflect that, but the Jets were not bad. I mean, much improved. I mean, they came out amped up, ready to play. They were well coached and kind of stunned us a little bit, especially in that first drive. But, you know, once again, like you said, we responded. But, you know, going down the road, I'd like to see us come out, you know, firing them on all cylinders versus kind of waiting back and letting it happen. You know, that's definitely the unfortunate side of that.
Coach, Alec Kerr had a really interesting stat line there last night. He had 6 carries for about 17 yards, but 4 touchdowns. Also returned a punt 47 yards to the house. So somebody was getting the ball down there, and then Alec was able to punch it in and get in the end zone 4 times.
Well, truthfully, a lot of those scores were at about the 1 yard line, and he just kind of jumped over the pile. to be honest with you, you know, the kid is a freak athlete. And yeah, that stat line is a little misleading. You think, you know, he's so big, power, short yardage back. No, I mean, he's our Mr. Do It All, Mr. Everything. And, you know, he's athletic enough to go up and over the pile on the 1 yard line. And that's where a lot of those carries came from, as far as, you know, him being in short yardage.
Well, Coach, I haven't seen y'all play last night, but I'm glad you said that, because I was so confused. I was like, man, a guy who gets 6 carries for 17 yards and 4 touchdowns usually doesn't return punts to the house. So hearing that he's going Walter Payton sweetness over the top has really cleared up some of my confusion from last night.
A little flip play to him, you know, out of that same set. Short yardage back, you know, I guess isn't the appropriate term. Kind of the red zone back, if you will, and trying to get the ball to him in different ways. And that's your answer, you know. It's an up and over the top, you know, and kind of like a reminiscent, like you said, of Walter Payton. You know, at times he's really good at that. So that's where that stat line comes from.
Well, Coach, your bell cow last night would have been Carson Sharp, finishing night with 15 rushes for 167 yards and 2 scores as well. How did he play? Obviously, anytime you put up numbers like that, you're anticipating that he played really well.
Well, you know, a lot of it started up front. And, you know, our guys are undersized in comparison, you know, to Cumberland County and all with others. You know, we're averaging probably average 205 up front. But, you know, we also have another freshman starting. I know that's something that always seems to be my MO, you know, in Clay County, is I always have a couple freshman linemen. But, you know, they really, I mean, created those creases, those lanes. But, you know, the thing about Carson is he's so elusive. He cuts so well. His vision is phenomenal. So, you know, if there's any kind of crease, you know, he's gone. He's loose. If you can ever get to where he gets into the second level, he's going to have great success. The kid's got vision, burst, speed. The only thing he doesn't have is size. You know, he flipped back to the defensive side of the ball. He had a heck of a night, had another interception, really some pivotal pass breakups. You know, he was in single coverage a lot, and he really, really, really played well on both sides of the ball.
Again, on here with Coach Jake Johnson of Clay County. Coach, got a big, big game coming up this week now against Gordonsville. A lot of region implications on the line, with looking like Clay County, Gordonsville, and Monterey being the cream of the crop, and everybody else is chasing. So I know this is a big test for your guys, and you actually should be in good shape to play this game. You stepped up and played higher levels of competition all season.
Right. You know, and Gordonsville did that as well. You know, they're playing Watertown, Trousdale County, you know, teams like that, you know, trying to get a little more battle tested, a little more proven. But, you know, it's going to be a battle. You know, hopefully, you know, when the dust settles and smoke clears, we come out on top. But I feel like our kids are going to be focused. They're going to be prepared. And, you know, it's always hard to go into Gordonsville and get a win, you know, and that's where we're at this year. But, you know, big region implications. You know, I'm glad it kind of gets out of the thing that I've heard several times. You know, this looks like it's the region championship, you know, and it's like, hey, you know, Monterey's still here, guys. You know, they beat Harriman last night 50-18 in the jungle at Gordonsville. So we've got our work cut out for us.
Well, Coach Johnson, thanks for jumping on with us this morning. Best of luck next week. We'll talk to you in the middle of the week this week as well, and look forward to seeing how that game goes.
I appreciate you.
Livingston Academy 21, Upperman 14. The high school playbook continues with Upperman head coach Adam Kane. Coach Kane, thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Coach Kane, looking at the box score last night, unfortunately I couldn't be there, but the game was a 50-50 game on time of possession, first downs, yards, and every major statistical category there, minus one. Upperman turns it over five times, four times interceptions. The year and a half I've been covering you here at Upperman, I don't think you've turned it over five times, maybe total. So what was going on there last night?
Well, that's a good question. You know, we struggled getting the passing game going. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Excuse my voice here, but probably three of those five were my fault. Just poor play calls. You know, we didn't get the look we expected. They spent the majority of the time early on in the football game kind of really, stacking the box against our run game. And so we wanted to, come out in the second half and get the ball in outside to Daniel and some of those guys. And, I mean, there was a delay with a clock or something, and they literally jumped out and covered him up and pretty much put a flat defender out there. So what we thought was going to be a good play call for all halftime turned into a nightmare situation. Just the kid made a good play on the ball, kind of jumped a flat route. And, just some of it was play calls, and some of it we just didn't execute very well in our passing game. But I'll say this, they're a lot better than people give them credit for. They're harder on the ball against. They get off blocks, and for 3 years they've done it, and they've really made it hard to run the football, and so we felt like we needed to throw it some. And lo and behold, before it's all said and done, you stacked up some interceptions. But it was unfortunate, but I'll give them credit.
Coach, before we went live here, you talked about their running back having a really good night. Said he's a good little player. He scored three touchdowns for those guys and had some success.
Yeah, we just had trouble, getting him on the ground. He's a good size guy and shifty enough to, keep you off balance a little bit. He would start one way and then, make a little subtle cut and bounce it outside. And, you miss a tackle or two. And next thing you know, after four corners, you get 150 yards rushing. So it was difficult. They were bleeding us out a little bit, a slow death, and so we took a lot of chances, really, really uncharacteristic of the way I like to play, but we gotta try to find a way to make a stop, and then they found the tight end at a crucial moment. They've been you can tell they've been trying to get that play for pretty much three quarters, and then they finally got it. So it was a formation we weren't really used to, and they got us, they got him open, and it was a big play in the ball game. But, the kid runs hard, and they do a good job with the offensive line. I think Bruce does a fantastic job. It's really underrated in coaching. Everybody thinks coaching is X's and O's. And to me, the biggest thing, especially at this level, is, getting your group to play as a unit, to play as a team. And for the past 2 years, when it's been what I call winning time, he's had a group of kids really play poised and confident, and most importantly, as a cohesive unit, and pulled it out in the fourth quarter in both the last two times we played them. And hats off to him. That's something we're still struggling with here. It's trying to, I had a coach point out to me, hey, you got a lot of talented players. and I agree. But I think the number one thing in coaching is trying to get kids to play as a cohesive unit, especially when it's time to win a football game. And whereas they were poised and confident, we looked like there was a lot of chaos, running through all this. And it starts with me. And somehow or another, I'm going to figure out a better way to push some buttons and get this group playing together and not, just as three or four guys trying to make, plays for themselves. We gotta try to develop ourselves into a team that loves each other and plays hard for each other.
All your season goals are still there for that Upperman football team, being 2-2 on the year, hosting Canton County next week there in Baxter. Coach, I appreciate your time this morning and look forward to being down there next week.
Hey, appreciate it.